You're listening to the Free to Be Mindful podcast, which invites you along on a journey to learn of mindful living, grow in mental health, and inspire through personal growth. In a world where we can often feel much stress and overwhelm, this podcast provides bite-sized tips and real talk conversations, empowering you to embrace mindfulness and nurture your full potential. I'm your host, Vanessa De Jesus Guzman, educator, licensed professional counselor, entrepreneur, and mom. I'm passionate about helping others live life with peace of mind and ease of heart without losing their, well, you know. Here we go. Hello and welcome to episode 187 of the Free to Be Mindful podcast. I hope that you're feeling good, looking good, and doing better in this world than you were yesterday. So when I record the podcast, I record it audibly, which is for podcast platforms, and then visually for my YouTube from this, what you see here, if you are watching on YouTube, my therapy office. And I always leave this mic on the side desk. So when kids come in and when they see it, the first thing they ask, almost in a very sarcastic tone, is, "What are you, a YouTuber?" And no, I don't categorize myself as a YouTuber, but I do state how my podcast can be found on YouTube, and usually kids are floored, probably half wondering how many subscribers I have, because I know that's very important. The other half wondering, how could they find me? And yes, anyone can find me anywhere, really, by searching the hashtag Free to Be Mindful podcast, or I can be found at Counselor V De Jesus on all social media channels, including YouTube. So if you're new to the podcast, welcome. And when I'm asked, what is your podcast about? I always state the three pillars of my work, which are mindful living, mental health, and personal growth. So my team and I do our best to bring you topics that fall under these three different categories in bite-sized form, of course, so that it's understandable, digestible, and repeatable. One topic that we've actually been putting off for a number of months now is today's topic, which is using your inner intuition. And right before I sat down to record this episode, I did take a moment to reflect on the why. Why is it that whether it be consciously or subconsciously, I kept pushing this topic back? And I think it's because it's somewhat of a challenge to explain, but it's even harder to prove. Being surrounded by skeptics, it's sometimes a hurdle to not think with those thoughts stuck in the back of my mind, but I can see the rolling of the eyes or the, comments that question what really is your inner intuition. But my friends, it definitely is a thing. So intuition can be described as a gut feeling or a heightened sense of awareness or even an inner voice that can come from our subconscious, typically from learned responses, past experiences, and sometimes even from the feeling of when you know, you just know. Although inner intuition doesn't have to be an exact science, it can be truly hard to define. However, there is a psychology to it. Before we go into that a little bit, I do want to share a time when inner intuition was really present in my life and I really had to listen in. And if you're a listener and follower of the podcast and my story, you're probably familiar with it already. As you know, I had an 18-year career in education, and around year 16, 17, when I was working in school by day and then working my private practice at night, I kept thinking about, what if I were to leave my career in education, something that is safe, where I was tenured, where I didn't have to think too hard to do my job because it just came to me and I had been doing it for so long, something where I had a pension, where it was really just secure. What if I left all of that to do private practice full time? This thing where I would have to figure it out because nobody would be telling me how to do the job well. And it's just not about doing the clinical side of the job, but it's also about being an entrepreneur and your own boss and figuring out the business end that I never learned in school. So that was a really big what if, but I had to use my inner intuition in order to reach that decision. And that didn't come overnight because it took about a year and a half or 2 years for me to really say, this is it. This is my 60-day notice. But it took a lot of thinking and a lot of what if doesn't work out? What if it doesn't lead the results that I want? What if I'm not successful? But when we ask those what if questions, on the other token, we do have to ask, well, what if it does work out? And what if it's amazing? And what if it lends me the flexibility to be more present for my family while making more money, while loving what I'm doing so much more? And thankfully, that is indeed what happened, but that wasn't an easy road to get to. So back to the science piece, I'll share with you that the University of New South Wales neuroscientist and psychologist Joelle Pearson, who is the author of the Intuition Toolkit, used a definition for intuition as follows. It's the learned positive use of unconscious information for better decisions or actions. And he went on further to explain that intuition includes three components. It's learned, it's productive, and it's based on unconscious information. So let's quickly break that down. When we talk about it's learned, we're thinking about that maybe we've experienced or maybe we've witnessed similar feelings or situations through our own interactions, through watching it on movies. Maybe it's the books that we've read, stories we've been told, things we've seen on the news, or other scenarios that give us a sense of deja vu almost, that give us a sense of this is what I should do or this is what I totally should not do. In my situation, I thought, what do I even know about private practice? How can it even be successful when it's something brand new to me? But by the same token, I thought, well, other people are doing it, so it could be figure outable. The second thing about it being productive, that's all about knowing how to use our inner intuition to guide smarter decision-making, becoming more in tune with our own emotions and embracing our identity and becoming more connected with others around us as well. Because it can help us determine which things bring us peace and joy and which things we might not want to surround ourselves around any longer. Back to my story, I thought about, well, how am I feeling in my current placement? Am I able to do everything that I want to do? Or is my growth being stunted? Which was exactly what was happening. And that was what I based my inner intuition off of to, again, guide my decision making. And then the third thing that was mentioned was that unconscious information, because whether we realize it or not, we are always consciously or subconsciously through one of our five senses, picking up information as we go. And when this information builds, it can lead to that innate feeling, which leads us to respond a certain way, or which leads us to how to navigate a situation, even when we may not necessarily have the how-to. It leads us to get to the destination or to the outcome anyway. And again, going back to my story, I knew that I knew myself well. And even in times when faced with whether it be personal challenges or professional challenges, I know that I'll do what it takes and I'll always give my all to persevere. I always give things my best. So knowing that about myself, that was the unconscious information that led me to what some people may call go off on a whim or step out on a leap of faith. And my friends, there are actually different types of intuition. For example, there is just going off of first impressions. Those are the judgment calls that we make regarding an individual or a situation based upon aspects such as how comfortable do they make us feel? What attracts us to their personality? If we trust them and other factors. And although we can't quite scientifically measure this, we know that there's something that drew us to this person or to this situation. Or on the opposite end, something that made us distance ourselves from this person or situation. scientifically based, first impressions are made in 0.2 seconds, and they can come from intentional decisions or social cues or even biases that we have within ourselves, which we just spoke about on a recent episode. And these often lead to the mental images of what we hold for someone else and even the expectations that we have for other people. And in addition to first impression, intuitions can also be just having that gut feeling about something going wrong. A common example is walking down an alley or somewhere late at night, switching our routes when we don't feel safe. Sometimes we can't quite explain why we make these changes, but something just felt right and we trusted it. This can all be linked to further senses, like how do our bodies feel, the actual setting. Let's say if it's nighttime, that can be associated with the unknown, or our emotions of fear or discomfort, that can be associated with, wait, something scary going on. Let me try to get out of the situation. And then there's other things too, like when we ask ourselves, why did the company choose to make that financial decision? Why did we switch our answer choice on an exam last minute? And why did we wear that outfit or go to that place on that day or change our plans at that time? In a world where we have Google literally at our fingertips each and every day, sometimes it can be a challenge to trust that gut feeling and just go off of a feeling instead of going off based on scientific or proven facts. And again, even though we can't always pinpoint our rationale for all of our decisions, we can learn to tune into ourselves so that we learn to trust ourselves. Because improving trust in your inner intuition is a journey that involves self-awareness, practice, and patience. So I want to share with you some tips that can help you develop and trust your inner intuition. The first is cultivating self-awareness. Just spend time reflecting on your thoughts, feelings, your reactions to different situations, and notice when it is that your inner intuition or that little voice inside your head, notice when it's talking to you and how it feels in your body. The more you become aware of your inner experiences, the easier it's going to be to recognize and trust your intuition. Also, practice mindfulness. Engage in meditation practices to quiet the mind. And it's not to stop thinking, but it's to be hyper-focused on what you're thinking about. And that helps you create the space for your inner intuition to emerge. Mindfulness helps you tune into the present moment and access your inner wisdom more readily. And do believe that you have a lot of inner wisdom to choose from. The third tip is listen to your body. Pay attention to physical sensations such as your gut feelings, your literal gut feelings, maybe even tension or relaxation that your body feels or doesn't feel. Your body often provides valuable signals that align with your intuition. Trust these bodily cues as a valid indicator of what feels right or wrong for you. Fourth tip is journaling. Keep a journal to record your thoughts, your feelings, your intuitive hunches. Writing can clarify your inner guidance and track patterns over time, reinforcing your trust in your intuition. The fifth tip, practice decision-making. And that's a really funny tip because usually we get decision fatigue by the end of a day or by the end of a work week, but really start paying attention to your decision-making. So start with these small decisions and notice how your intuition guides you, even when it's, you know, what foods you're going to eat for breakfast. When you really start paying attention to it, as you gain more confidence, gradually you work yourself up to bigger decisions. And then what's most important is to reflect on your past experiences so that you can learn where you followed your intuition and acknowledge these positive outcomes, reinforcing your trust in it. The sixth tip, seek quiet time. Create moments of stillness and solitude in your daily routine. Quiet environments allow your intuition to surface more clearly without the distractions of external stimuli. And that goes back to having a mindfulness practice. Also, the seventh tip, trust your initial impulse. So when faced with a decision, notice first your instinct or your gut reaction. And often this initial impulse is your intuition speaking before your rational mind kicks in. Trusting this instinctual response can lead to a more authentic and more aligned choice. The eighth is learn from your mistakes. So embrace the idea that mistakes and failures, in quotations, are part of the learning process. And you really learn a ton from when you fail. So even if a decision guided by intuition doesn't yield your desired outcome, reflect on the experience without judgment if you can. That's an aspect of mindful living as well. And use this failing moment as an opportunity to redefine your intuitive skills and deepen your trust in yourself. The ninth tip is surround yourself with supportive people. You heard me talk about skeptics before, and those voices, especially if they're negative ones, tend to stick with you. So you want to, as much as possible, as much as you can have control over, seek out friends, mentors, or community who honors intuition and supports your journey of self-discovery. Having a supportive network can really validate your experience and provide encouragement when doubts arise in you. And the 10th and final tip, have an open mind. Remain open to the guidance of your intuition, even if it contradicts logic or even if it contradicts societal norms. Trust that your intuition does know what's best for you, even when the path forward seems unclear or even controversial. So how would I define all of these tips? Because standing alone, they can stand alone on their own. But when you put them all together, I define them as really engaging in mindful living. And many of the aspects I just mentioned are a part of my personal mindful living framework. I have created a specific 7-pillar mindful living framework that helps you with so many things, including stress reduction, improving focus and concentration, emotional regulation, enhancing your overall well-being, better decision-making, greater self-awareness, improved relationships, increased creativity, many health benefits, mental and physical, and even spiritual growth. When you engage in mindful living, you can enhance all of these aspects within yourself. And I am passionate about sharing this framework via keynotes, workshops, fireside chats, and panels for various businesses, organizations, and schools. To learn more about my speaking services, I invite you to visit my website, freetobemindful.com/speaking. So my friends, know that sometimes we don't have an exact data-proven, evidence-based answer to our actions. But sometimes there's just something to be said for trusting your gut, trusting that little voice inside your head, going off of energy or vibes that you feel, maybe taking a risk, making a big decision, and adulting based off these feelings that we've mentioned. And will it always be right? Maybe not. But know that even when something went differently than you thought it was going to go, it's never a failure, but instead always a learning experience. So right now, regardless of where you are or what you're doing, I invite you to think of a time or a situation where you were conflicted about what to do. Maybe it's something you're experiencing right now. What steps should you take? What's going to be best for you or for your family in the long run? As you think of these possibilities, notice how each what if sits in your body, how each what if sits in your heart and in your mind. Knowing that sometimes the answers don't make sense, but they shouldn't feel bad either. Knowing that if something seems scary or brings us anxious feelings, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad, but it may mean that it's just you making a big, important decision or a choice that you really care about. And overall, knowing that you can trust yourself because no one knows you better than you. So what choice will you make? Well, that's totally up to you. But trust your ancestors, your energy, your vibes, your past experiences, your gut, and your heart. Trust all of that to know that you know what is best for you. And trust that in a world where you are free to be anything that you want to be, you are always free to be mindful. Catch you next week.